following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 88 for Wednesday, April 6, 2011. Zoom Reader zooms in. And hello, everyone, on this lovely Wednesday evening.
Why, yes, it is lovely.
What's in the house is lovely anyway, the smell of cooking roast.
Yes.
Mm.
And it's kind of cool outside and sunny.
Yes. Yes, which is also a plus.
Exciting, isn't it, people?
Another plus is that this may be a light week for news.
Yeah.
So if you've got places to go and people to see, you can squeeze listening to this in.
Yes, unless we completely ramble and babble.
Yes, has been known to happen. Thus, a podcast of unspecified length.
Oh, don't use the one from the other.
Use the other. Mm-mm-mm. Okay. We will actually be able to get started fairly quickly because, sadly, there's no listener mail or listener tweets.
Yeah, not really. Yeah. Nobody's actually listening.
No,
we pretty much know that.
Not really. We're pretty much resigned.
But this is the week that the wonderful Zoom Reader by AI Squared has come out.
Yes, and we will address that later.
Yes.
For now, we do have a couple of security things to talk about. One in particular, I think.
Why, yes, we do. If you are running a website and you are using WordPress, you may be vulnerable to a hack that is causing problems with backup WP up. B-A-C-K-W-P-U-P.
Right.
Sense of Security has said that version 1.6.1 has a problem and your site could be hacked or remote code could be executed.
And this is for WordPress.org. This is for somebody who has it on their own domain, right? This
exactly.
Isn't for WordPress.com hosted blogs.
Yeah, WordPress.com, you're automatically updated. But if you are using 1.6.1 on your WordPress.org, which basically says I've installed a version of my own, there's an undefined variable in the XML export function, and it can actually link off to other websites, which is not good.
Right.
So you definitely want to upgrade to 1.7.1 to resolve this great tragic issue.
Twitter's also been having issues of its own lately. Folks have been noticing, of course, since September, they have launched what's called New Twitter. It basically gives you a lot more options. You have like a split panes, and you can access video and tweets and replies and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it gives you nice suggestions.
Yeah, and suggestions and little searches and everything and trends. Well, Twitter, due to some security issues, has had to revert back to old Twitter.
Yeah, and a lot of people are upset about that.
I liked old Twitter better myself, but hey, what do I know? Apparently, people were seeing tweets from other people in their timelines, people they didn't follow. Some people may have had trouble with tweets if they had protected them. They were no longer protected. I think I saw that tweeted somewhere. And basically, other types of problems, so they had to revert back to the old Twitter, and we're not quite sure how long it's going to stay that way.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people that deal with multimedia, they were excited about it and liked the new functionality, but hey, security is more important.
Yes. Twitter has made some strides in the field of searching, however.
Why, yes, they have improved the search system on the website, and that is greatly improved. Previously, a search could take 800 milliseconds, and now it has been cut to 250 milliseconds by implementing a process called Blender, as opposed to their former Ruby on Rails format.
I wonder what API results are. I wonder if they're any faster.
Not sure. But apparently, Twitter actually can achieve 1 billion searches per day.
Wow.
And since the tsunami Japan disaster occurred in the last few weeks, there has been an influx of traffic, and it is just bogging down the system. So this new upgrade is improving performance and getting you more results.
Good. Good deal. Yay. Verizon has been having some email problems.
Yes, last week, which I think actually my workplace actually might have been hit by this, a security breach at a company that houses names and email addresses for Verizon customers called Epsilon had a security breach. And more than 50 companies had their information sent to malicious places.
Whoops.
So they have now made the correction, and customers were notified that this problem was taking place and that their data may be compromised.
Now, what actually was happening? Were they getting like spam mail or what?
Well, at work, it seemed like everyone that was on Verizon was getting spam.
Mm-hmm.
And the email, the way we know that it was spam was because the email addresses were not last name, first name. It was first name, last name. And a lot of people were saying that they were getting them, and I'm not on Verizon, and I was seeing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, like, bizarre that it was appearing that it was coming from within the company.
Well, what about your actual desktop computers?
No problems.
It was just over the cell networks?
Well, it was, you were getting it in your work email because your phone was registered to your business account.
Right, but you weren't getting it on your computer.
No, they were not getting spam on their mobile phones.
Oh.
They were getting it in their work email boxes, apparently.
Okay. Interesting.
Because of the names and emails being
reversed.
Yeah.
Okay.
And stolen.
Stolen,
I guess.
Yes.
But I don't know whether that was what our issue was last week or not, but it was kind of bizarre.
Mm-hmm. AT&T has... there has been a survey suggesting that AT&T has 2.5% more dropped calls.
Actually, it's 4.8.
Ooh.
ChangeWave took a survey of Verizon, T-Mobile, Sprint, and AT&T customers here in the U.S. and over a 90-day period, and AT&T won the title of most dropped calls.
Where am I getting 2.5 from?
Probably because T-Mobile had 2.3%. And Sprint was 2.7, and AT&T was 4.8.
4.8.
And Verizon stayed at a 1.8% of calls being dropped in the month of March.
Interesting.
So maybe that is because of the difference between GSM and the CDMA network, you know. But, well, most likely because CDMA will actually travel through things better than the GSM network.
That's true.
So if you're on an iPhone, kind of explains things a little bit, but we don't really seem to have that much of a problem, but we don't use the phone that much.
I occasionally will have problems, but it's not, I mean, I don't experience it that much.
Yeah. But speaking of encountering issues, Motorola released back at CES information about the Motorola Atrix and Xoom tablet, X-O-O-M. Apparently, sales for the two devices are disappointing.
Oh.
A company called Pacific Crest is estimating that they have only sold 100,000 units of the Xoom tablet, as opposed to 300,000 iPads being sold in one day when it released. So, everybody's kind of skeptical about it. The Motorola Atrix, if you don't remember, is the phone that actually can dock into a laptop.
That's right.
So that you can use it. And I believe it's $500 extra just to get the docking station that's like a laptop.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, so that makes your cost over $600 probably
just for a phone.
Yeah, exactly. And the Xoom tablet is running Honeycomb, which is the new version of
Android.
Google Android, and everybody says it's half-baked.
Oh, dear.
And having problems, and they're not releasing it to any other tablet makers other than Motorola at the moment.
That does say something.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, speaking of other strange ventures.
There's a blockbuster of a deal.
Yes, interesting deals. Dish Network has bought Blockbuster, which has declared bankruptcy.
Yes, for $320 million, Dish Network is grabbing Blockbuster. Apparently, they are hoping to save all of the brick and mortar stores for use as Dish sales.
Oh, my.
So that they will still have music and video rentals But they will also have satellite information that you can pick up in the Blockbuster stores.
So will it still be called Blockbuster, or will it be called Dishbuster, or what?
I guess it'll still be Blockbuster. Mm-hmm. And two, they have the rights to a streaming service as well, which was kind of defunct because everybody pretty much uses Netflix.
Yes.
So they're kind of thinking that they'll be able to use the licensing agreements that Blockbuster had in order to bolster their on-demand services.
Oh, okay. Speaking of streaming services, actually, this doesn't really cover streaming services so much as it does mobile applications.
And privacy.
And privacy. There is a grand jury investigation in the U.S. government for various mobile apps, many of whom have been subpoenaed to turn in reasons why they need certain information from customers. You may notice that when you first install apps like Pandora, which is a streaming service for music, or other similar things, that they want things like your location. They want to use your location, or they want your device identifier number, you know, your SIM PIN number or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are really curious, why do they need this stuff? What exactly are they using? Where is this data being sent? So all of these apps, I don't know how many of them have actually been subpoenaed, a whole bunch apparently. It includes Pandora and even such unknown apps as Pumpkin Maker. So I think they're trying to get as many apps together as they can find that actually use some of, ask for this info from users. You know, if this information is being streamed back to their servers, then where is it going? And, you know, this kind of piggybacks off of the trouble that Apple was in January. Like, was it January? And for February of this year, over this very same issue, there was suspicion about where they were taking all this information from users. So at this point, it hasn't developed into any kind of litigation in the court system. It's just an investigation.
Well, mobile apps is one of those areas where it's not really got a lot of regulations on
right,
it. And
right.
People aren't having to follow guidelines and post privacy policies mm-hmm. and things like that. It's kind of like the last week there was an app called Color that came out that is like a social network. And
right.
It asks you to take a picture, and you take pictures in places that you are. And you really only see pictures for people that are within like 200 feet of you. So it's kind of like a social network within an event. And apparently, from what I understand, they actually monitor the wave sound form.
Ooh.
So they're actually able to tell, okay, if you're at a concert, where are you at the concert?
Oh, that's too weird.
Yeah, a little bit like that.
Ooh, that's creepy.
So some people are kind of worried that, okay, if they can turn on the microphone just to do that, could they be monitoring what other people say? They say they're not. They're only using it for this purpose of determining where you are. Another app that kind of does that is Grey's Anatomy, apparently for the iPad. If you're watching Grey's Anatomy and have the iPad app up, ugh. It knows where you are in the show.
That is too creepy.
Yeah, that's a little creepy.
Oh, God.
So it's giving you information based on that episode and where you are in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, these are kind of questions that are probably going to get people in trouble at some point
yeah.
when there is actually a real situation. Kind of like what happened to Google and Buzz.
Yeah, this is funny. There was a huge brouhaha when Google Buzz released its social network. It kind of like everyone on Gmail was pretty much opted into this, and all of your contacts could see all of your Google Reader stuff and your profile and all this kind of thing, and people were very upset. So there was this huge lawsuit. Many companies were suing Google, and it was an $8.5 million class action lawsuit. There was a verdict. And now one of the companies that actually was key in bringing the suit in the first place, or rather organizations, I should say, Epic, is claiming that they did not get any money. So they are upset, and they want the court to revisit the distribution of the money to make sure that everyone gets their fair share. They claim that more money than was supposed to be given was given to organizations that have lobbied for Google in the past.
Yeah, and most of those got like hundreds of thousands of dollars
yeah.
as opposed to the people that actually had their information shared and their contacts
right.
and who they email most and mm-hmm. things like that being thrown out there.
So Epic is in the forefront of some folks that want this revisited and looked at again.
Yeah, and two, I think Google is going to have like privacy reviews like twice a year for the next 20 years or something.
Oh my goodness.
That. Yeah, something crazy like that.
Wow.
So they're getting their hands slapped pretty good for that. The legislators that were talking about this said, well, you know, when Google released it, it was like, sweet, check out Google Buzz. And nah, just send me to my email.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like, okay, do you want to be boring or do you want to be the cool dude?
Oh, well. Speaking of slaps on the hand, now we need to give a big round of applause because the blindbargains.com 2010 Access Awards have all been chosen.
Or bestowed.
Bestowed, whichever.
Or awarded.
Apple got 3 awards this year. It for the best screen reader for VoiceOver on iOS and on Macintosh, it got an award. It also took home the best hardware product as the iPhone 4, and it just took home the General Company Honors Award for being a mainstream company who listened to the needs and wishes of their blind constituents. Horizons for the Blind has a new website called Directions for Me that it sponsors, and it took home two awards, Best for Innovation, Best New Innovation, and Best Website Awards. And in case you don't know, go back to the Tech Access Daily Tip for Directions for Me, and it has listings of 360,000 or so different products that you can search.
Yes, and then didn't they just have a agreement with BC Scan?
Yes, they do. They have an agreement with BC Scan, which is an AT guy's product that they are going to incorporate their barcode scanning results into Directions for Me. They're going to have a collaboration.
And there's also a daily tip on that.
Yes, absolutely. Quitter, for the second year in a row, took home the Software of the Year Award, and Christopher Toth, one of the principal developers for Quitter, took home Person of the Year this year.
They're just racking it up over there. I know.
For the fourth year in a row? No, I don't think so. But several years in a row, Fred's Head from APH has taken home the Best Blog of the Year, and also for the third or fourth consecutive time, Independent Living Aids took home the Best Store for Blindness-Related Products.
I mean, I would have thought that Ranger Station would have gotten like Best Blog.
Well,
I mean, granted, he updates it like once a year, but it's a heck of a post.
Oh, yeah, if you say so. But Serotalk got Best Podcast severalth time.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how many times. And RS Games, for the, I think, second time, got an accessible award for the best, an award for the best accessible game, and this year it was for their new Uno game.
Yeah, I see that a lot on Twitter. Going to play Uno.
I can never get that to work for me, but it was on my old machine, and I just haven't
tried it. Yeah, I installed it. I was mystified that it actually was working in Windows 7 64-bit.
Because it wasn't working in 32-bit Windows 7 when I installed it like last November or something.
Maybe we'll have to try that again?
Yeah, I think so, because we need to do more game
tips. They seem to be doing a lot of development over there. So
they do.
That's a good
And speaking of game tips, yes, Liam, I am going to get to Super Egg Hunt soon, so you can, you know, stop your crying and everything.
I mean, they might be spoiled by the time we get to them.
Nah, they'll be fine.
No?
No. He was upset that the episode about Fatal Chicken did not include anything about Super Egg Hunt.
That's kind of funny that he thought it was,
though. I know, because he had just upgraded the game.
Oh.
That was the reason. But I'm going to get to it soon. I think probably within the next week. Shameless plug for Liam Irvin and his nice games too.
I always hated doing an egg hunt at Easter. I never found anything.
Oh, I did. But then see, the problem with that was I would find the little like flat chocolate candies and stuff, and it was hot outside, so they'd all be melted.
Ew.
It was disgusting. Yeah, and in case you want some of his games, it's lworks.net. I think l-works.net.
Ah, we're just giving plugs all over
the place. All over the place. And that is it for the Blind Access Awards.
It was just an honor being nominated.
Yeah, we were nominated. Thanks, folks, for not choosing us. We really appreciate the nominations. That was totally awesome.
Very much so.
So Let's see.
I guess we will now zoom in on Zoom Reader a little bit here.
Zoom Reader has zoomed into the iPhone App Store, or Apple App Store, or whatever you want to call it, iOS App Store.
It's in iTunes, and you can download it for $19.99.
Yes, and it came out on Tuesday. Was it Tuesday?
Yes.
Tuesday, yes. And we got it Tuesday afternoon, and some people over here have been testing it pretty much nonstop.
Why have you been testing it nonstop?
Excuse me, but it wasn't me. It was you.
Oh.
Yes.
I just kept seeing everyone talking about it on Twitter and blog posts and things like that, talking about it. So it's kind of...
It was good that you did, because it is going to be coming up very soon in a daily tip.
Yes. A lengthy daily tip.
Yes.
But hopefully an informative daily tip.
Absolutely, because you actually did a very good job at getting uniformity in your results.
Yeah, and so, she says that once she edits it, I will sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Yes, you will. I promise.
Is that gloating or what?
I'm so good. Now that was gloating.
Okay.
I was just stating facts. It'll sound like you know what you're talking about.
Ah, okay.
Because you actually do sound like you know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have to do much. So now that we have rambled on enough about the fact that this is going to be a daily tip, let's talk about some of the things that it doesn't really have that would be really cool.
Yeah, it kind of has upset a lot of the blind community, because when you first install it and you go in, there are what seems to be no buttons labeled for VoiceOver.
Yeah, and that's true. They have not labeled the buttons for the app yet. But if you go into VoiceOver and enable hints, then you will be able to hear the sort of underpinning labels that Apple automatically sort of assigns to different buttons.
Yeah, and I mean, I can kind of understand it, because AI Squared is pointing to the low vision community instead of the blind community.
Right.
But I don't get it. I don't understand the logic in doing that when a lot of the people that are interested in it are the blind community, not just the low vision area. And you're going to put it out and make the impression like you don't care.
And another sort of half-baked thing they did was not include any help documentation in the app.
Yeah, they give the link for the mobile.aisquared.com website, but it would be useful if there was like a page in there that just gave you some of the information about, here's what the buttons do, here's what the voice commands are. I mean, being in information technology for 14 years, it's kind of like me saying, you know, I got this report for you that you really wanted, and here's the detail, but let me give you the totals for that report in a month or so. I mean, yeah, you might want it, but you know, I wanted to rush it out and get it there. I don't get the way that companies put out these products where things are just left hanging, and the impression is, do they really care about what they're doing? Which, I mean, AI Squared, they know what they're doing. They care about what they're doing, and I commend them for everything that they have done. But why release it when you know that you're going to have to send out an update? I mean, the tea leaves would say that everyone is going to be upset over VoiceOver not working, because, I mean, like you said in our daily tip coming up, that most blind users will turn off VoiceOver hints because, well,
they're really slow. They take a long time. You sort of have to pause for a second and listen to what it says. And then you're like, okay, is that enough? Is that all? Did you stop now?
Yeah. And it is kind of amusing, during our daily tip that's coming up, I had VoiceOver on for a portion of it, and I didn't know when it was going to stop.
And it was always like, is it going to start? Because there's always a pause after it says button. And it pauses and then says a hint.
And then it might continue the hint after it pauses yet again. So yeah, that's kind of amusing. Also, it doesn't seem like there's really a stabilization in the app as far as hand protecting against hand movements and things. The folks over at AI Squared said that they were using a in-your-face stand that clips onto a desk and things to make sure that it is actually stable for taking pictures. That's an, I believe, $29 app that you can get from InYourFaceUSA.com, I believe it is.
It's not an app, though. It's a piece of hardware.
Yes, actually a hardware that
clamps.
And
if you're going around and about trying to scan things, you're not going to always have that there. And there are camera apps that actually do have some sort of stabilization for the iPhone itself.
Yeah, I use one for doing like panorama pictures and things that's called Ubik, and you touch the screen and it focuses on a spot, and if you walk with it, it sort of stabilizes and keeps the camera from moving a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so something like that would assist in taking pictures. I will say that doing images and doing OCR for things, the battery goes down like, whew.
Yeah.
It's almost like having Skype open.
Yeah, Monday. Was it Monday that it came out?
Yeah, it was Monday.
It was Monday that it came out because you were testing, and then all of a sudden you didn't know the battery was low, and then all of a sudden your phone flashed and then went dark. And I guess the effort involved in receiving a phone call was just too much for it, and it took it down.
Yeah. I mean, I can scan several pages and things, but it's like once I get to about 10 documents or something, I can notice that it's gone down probably 10 or 15%.
And it uses a lot of CPU power. If you hear in our daily tip a humming, that is the CPU of the phone.
Yeah. So maybe with iPhone 5 coming out, maybe it'll be a dual core processor and it'll have more power, which basically means that it'll have more battery loss too.
Yeah.
And the phone gets really hot when it's working hard like that. As far as the good things, the results are pretty similar to what you would get with a Say Text. Maybe actually a little better.
I think they're a little better than Say Text.
It's kind of on par with Doc Scanner. I tried that as well. And the recognition was pretty much the same. But with Doc Scanner, you don't get the voice output.
And you don't get the magnification.
Yeah, and that magnification. As far as the zoom features, it does go up to a 4x zoom. It seemed like it was as clear and accurate as other apps, you know, that you can get by with currently. You know, so, I mean, if you're trying to decide on whether or not you need the app, if you're a low vision person and you want to be able to have text-to-speech, speak aloud, you know, I think, yes, it's worth it because it's all in one app. You don't have to do multiple things. In our daily tip, I was able to use some third-party apps in order to get around a couple of scanning issues. You know, I mean, you still have to consider how much light you have around you, how much light is above you, is there a shadow, just the typical things like that. Are you angled correctly? Are you lined up well? The blind community, I don't think version 1 is for you.
It's not quite there yet.
It's not quite there. It could use some more cues to help line up things. I think if you're wanting a portable way to scan things, I think the demo that Sarah Talk and Sarah Tech did on the DocuScan Plus with the hover cam, I think that sounded like it was a good solution or possibility, just because it comes with a mat that's portable and you can sort of get guides as to where am I putting it.
And part of the reason that it's hard to develop apps for iPhone for scanning is because of the camera itself.
Yeah, and that's one of the questions about the iPod Touch and the iPhone 3GS. They're not recommending it for the 3GS. I don't know whether that's because the processor isn't strong enough.
That is quite possible.
Yeah, after doing some of the tests today, we were finding that it was having to chug a little bit on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. Also, with the 3GS, you don't have the flash, and you don't have as good of a camera. So a lot of that is going to play into whether or not you want this app. So hopefully,
but I do think it's a big step in the right direction. And I do commend AI Squared for being willing to listen to comments and put up with all the questions that people have been floating to them over the past few days.
Yeah, and it's a great version 1 of an app.
Mm-hmm.
It'll get better.
Absolutely.
I like the way that they have implemented the voice commands.
That is nice.
The zoom in, zoom out is what I know I would use most because it incrementally zooms in. So it's not like you have to hold it, put your finger on it, slide your finger up without really jiggling the camera that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can just say zoom in.
That's
zoom
very
out.
Nice.
So that's kind of a nice thing. So that daily tip will be coming out
shortly.
Either tomorrow or Friday, probably.
It will probably come out tomorrow.
Yeah.
It may be later in the day.
Yeah. But it has a lot of information. Like I say, I did use some third-party things to show that if you're a low-vision person, you can work around some of the limitations as far as taking pictures. And one really nice thing is the fact that you can take a scan or a picture that you took with another app and then import it into Zoom Reader.
That's really how you were using the third-party things to take pictures and then importing them into Zoom Reader after making some adjustments with the other app.
Yes. But,
Importing them in, that is a really nice feature.
Very much
so. And you can share. Well, we're just giving our daily tip right now.
No, we've left it vague.
True.
We're torturously vague.
That's true.
Because we talk about Zoom Reader mm-hmm. by AI Squared, and we're talking about it now. But you don't know what kind of demonstrations we did.
That's true.
So you'll just have to catch the daily tip for that. Isn't that mean?
Oh, we're so mean. And we don't apologize either.
Not hardly. But anyway, yes. Good app for the low vision. Not so great for the blind community, which will piss them off.
But it's going to get better. Now, watch your language.
Oh, sorry. It'll tinkle them off.
This is supposed to be a clean podcast.
Yeah, it's pretty clean. It's cleaner than salt water.
True.
And we will leave it there and go to the...
What were you thinking?
Again, two stories for this part. We just couldn't figure out which one to use.
Yeah, people just will not learn with Facebook. And the media is covering these types of things, but people just don't learn. So anyway, last week there was information about a Chicago teacher that was laughing about her students on Facebook, saying that their hair looked like Jolly Ranchers. I don't know whether that means that they were fluorescent orange or...
Well, it must have been like colored pink or red or something.
Yeah, that's all I can figure. Well, she was suspended for that. Well, now... A teacher in Paterson, New Jersey, has been suspended also for complaining on Facebook that her students are future criminals.
Her little first graders.
This is what I'm saying.
Her little first graders are future criminals?
I don't know. Maybe somebody stole a tater tot.
Oh.
I don't know. Anyway, she was suspended. The school cited that the teacher was going to be suspended because of issues in the classroom. That it was disrupting class time because of this statement that was put on Facebook.
But it never entered the classroom, did it?
No, but I guess parents were friends of the teacher, and it sort of got spread around that way.
Oh, okay.
So if you are going to badmouth your students or coworkers or bosses or anything like that, you really need to be not doing it on the internet.
Don't use Facebook.
Well, I mean, we had talked previously about the teacher that tried to use a website and she never put her name on it, but they figured out who she was.
Yep.
Granted, she put a picture beside it.
Well, that probably had something to do with
it. Yeah, a little bit. Anyway, part two.
Part two.
Or D.
Yeah, part two. This actually isn't really a what were you thinking. This is like a, well, sort of. I mean, the guy was kind of stupid. Well, it started out not being stupid, and then he just sort of degenerated into stupidity. This guy was in the Atlanta, subway station and had to blow his nose. Well, I guess he must have really had to blow his nose and didn't have a Kleenex and didn't really want to, sniff all the time. So he grabbed some paper towels off of a janitor's cart and started to unroll them to blow his nose. Some security guard yelled at him to stop. I guess it was actually a police officer. Stop getting the towels off. He wouldn't because he, I guess, had to blow his nose. I guess he didn't think there was a problem getting paper towels off there. The officer said stop in the name of the law. He didn't do that. And the officer came over there and tried to take them away from him, I guess after he had used them or something like that. And the guy said, I would think that the cost, it's you know, costing me to ride these trains and stuff would cover for just a few paper towels I'm using. Well, then anyway, apparently he started to, you know, yell and scream that the police were assaulting him and killing him and tried to make an emergency 911 call. And, you know, punches were thrown and he was arrested for 2 counts of assault and assaulting a police officer and I don't know what all.
For wanting to blow his nose using a paper towel.
Off of a janitor's cart.
As opposed to if he would have went into a restroom and used said paper towel from bin.
Or if he would have just been carrying around a couple Kleenex with him. Those little packets, you know?
A guy's not going to carry those little packets in his pocket. Come on, please.
That was the solution that the article I read offered.
I still think,
as opposed to going into a restroom and using the... I mean, there are restrooms in those stations. I know they may be far flung and far between, but they do exist.
See, most people would want that as opposed to somebody just sort of closing the other nostril and sort of giving you old snot rocket.
Right.
That's basically where you just fire as
hard as
you can.
Yes, I know what it is.
Okay, well, just trying to help out the listeners that may not be as crude as that.
Yeah, well.
Just kind of nuts.
It was crazy, all right.
I don't get it. I don't get it. But, hey, I worked with a lady that accused one of her coworkers of wasting state-appropriated funds because he printed out his birth certificate that he needed for a human resource document that he was sending in.
Huh?
Yeah. She told him that he was abusing state-appropriated funds because he printed out his birth certificate and a receipt.
But he needed those for his job.
Yeah. He needed them, but at the same time, she had printed out pictures of her kids. Hanging on her corkboard.
And that's not misusing state-appropriated funds?
Not if she was doing it.
Oh, I see.
I believe if I remember correctly, he went and gave her a nickel.
Oh my God, that's awesome!
Yeah, that was even worse.
That's fantastic! I love it!
Sorry for misappropriating funds.
Is this who I think it is?
No.
Oh, okay. On that note, everybody, this... mess that you have been listening to is Tech Access Weekly episode
88.
You can view the stories that we considered by going to delicious.com/techaccess/88. Let me get the slash in there.
/88.
Yes. If you would like to make comments, criticisms, suggestions, complaints, or any other of that miscellaneousness,
call somebody else. No.
You can email us, tweet us, or drop us a voice line comment using the options at the end of this podcast.
And if you are interested in listening to the Melting Pot Show on Mushroom FM, you can do that on Sundays from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yes.
Hosted by her.
Me on mushroomfm.com. And last but not least, if you have an idea for a tip, trick, or tidbit for our Tech Access Daily Tips feed, if you would like to submit an idea and or submit a tip yourself, please let us know and we can get you set up to do that.
Yes, and definitely let us know what you think of the Zoom Reader review and daily tip once it hits. You can find that over at techaccessweekly.com.
Yes.
Hopefully within the next 48 hours from this point, which is between 6 and 7 p.m.
Is there a reason that you're whispering?
Am I whispering?
Sort of.
I believe I took my tone down a little for dramaticism.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, on that note, everybody, I think we're just going to say...
Bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.